5:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Wednesday. Yeah, it is. And, well, you know, it's hot. There we go. Oh, you know, we're having Rich Herrera up here for dinner tonight. No, he's not on the menu. Stop it. No, he's coming as a guest. We're allowed to have guests. I checked. I'm allowed to have a guest. But, you know, Rich, since he has arrived, I've been trying to get him up here to try the Jeff Katz sandwich. And we could have eaten it at the Jeff Katz table in the Jeff Katz section at Jake's Place, 511 Thompson Street in Ashland, about a mile or so down from the train tracks and the Secretariat statue. But we just haven't been able to make it work. And, you know, he's kind of solo. Well, not kind of. He is solo at the moment. And I know what that's like. You know, I did that hellacious commute from Boston to Richmond over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, it was years because we couldn't find services for Julia and all that other nifty stuff. So I feel for him. Stuck in a sad pad. It's a hotel. It's a little better than the sad pad that I used to have, but nonetheless. So anyway, so he's coming up. We're going to have dinner. I've already ordered up a mess of food from Jake's, and he will have the Jeff Katz sandwich. I mean, I hope he's going to have it because that's what I ordered for him. If he doesn't have it, then, well, the rest of us will split it, I suppose. And I'm thinking, given that it's 100 degrees, frozen margaritas. That is exactly what is on the menu. I'm taking a look at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. Jeff, I am getting ready to have my very first BLT of the season with Hanover tomatoes and Duke's mayonnaise. I listened to you talk with Tom Leonard and TJ Leonard yesterday. That's how I knew the Hanover tomatoes were in. Also, while I was over at Tom Leonard's, I got a great filet as well. Thanks again, Merle. Absolutely, Merle. I am probably going to head over there, I don't know, maybe this weekend. You know, Tom and TJ both mentioned, well, TJ mentioned, and Tom sort of reacted like, hey, it's the first I've heard of this, but, well, you've said it out loud now. There's no going back. TJ announced that lobster tails were $4 a piece. I love lobster. I'm just telling you that. I make no apologies for it either. Why? Because I grew up poor. That's why. And when I have the opportunity to have something that, make no mistake, we could not have when I was young, I'm getting it. So I'm getting it. And for $4, a lobster tail? Man, you can't find that anywhere. And TJ mentioned it yesterday. I did. Jerm, you'll back me up on this. I actually asked him a couple of times if he had made a mistake. I thought maybe he meant like $14 for a couple of them. Cheapest I've seen anywhere has been two lobster tails for $17. So these suckers are about half price. If I'm you, I head over to Tom Leonard's and get that. Oh, he's got the tomahawks as well. I should have told him to put some stuff aside. But anyway, I'll be going over there this weekend, I think. John Reed. John Reed is our Republican nominee for lieutenant governor. Of course, John was our morning show host, Richmond's Morning News. As you know, Rich Herrera hosts that now. But John was here for 7 years, I think, 8 years. And a lot of people on this station know John, and they remember John as being a really nice guy. I'm looking at the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. And just about everybody saying, hey, you got to tell John no more Mr. Nice Guy. Don't be the nice guy that he was on the radio. You're going to have to take the gloves off because the other side is not playing games. I agree. He's always struck me as just too damn polite. It's that whole Southern gentleman thing. I can guarantee you, though, on the issues, there'll be nobody more passionate, more forceful than John, but we'll see. And I continue to invite everybody onto this program. I think that Abigail Spanberger and Ghazala Hashmi and Jay Jones are the absolute death of Virginia if they are elected. But I still invite them to come here and visit. I'm not going to lie to them and say, hey, I think you're great, or, geez, tell me about your ideas. I know about your ideas. I've studied your ideas. I think your ideas are not just crazy. I think they're dangerous. But I want everybody to hear that. And I want everybody who is looking at the other side of things with Winsome Sears and Jason Meares and John Reed, I want people to hear them as well. Now, I know we've got, is it Friday? Winsome Sears is going to be here. They better not mess that up. That's all I'm going to say. Look, we want everybody here. We want everybody here. So Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears should be here on Friday. Attorney General Jason Meares, I guess sometime next week, will be back with us. Jason and Winsome were here, once a month. We had them regularly throughout their terms, and now everybody's campaigning, so it's a little bit different. But we'll get everybody on. I promise you, we'll make room for everybody and let everybody visit and talk about things. I've got to share this little story with you. It's from the New York Times, and I know it means most of us didn't bother reading it, but they are attacking Sean Duffy. Sean Duffy is the Secretary of Transportation, and his wife is Rachel Campos Duffy from Fox News. They have 9 children, including one beautiful daughter who has Down syndrome. She's the young lady that was basically sitting on the president's lap in the Oval Office, or standing at the Resolute desk anyway, and he was just loving on her like she was his own grandchild. It was beautiful to see. You remember those photos? That was when Sean Duffy was being sworn into office as the Secretary of Transportation. Well, Sean Duffy started his public life, if you will, on MTV, The Real World. And didn't his wife? I think his wife did as well. She was on The Real World. And they've gone on to really wonderful careers post-Real World. It's 20 years ago, 25 years ago. And they have 9 children. The New York Times had one of their reporters, a woman by the name of Carolyn Kitchener, do what can only be described as an attack piece on these two folks and their family. Why? Because they have a big family. This Kitchener person in this article, which is entitled "From a Racy Past to a Key Cabinet Post," said that Sean Duffy has exploited his large family. How so, ma'am? What exactly has he done that has been exploitative? Has he had photographs with his family? Yep. When he ran for office, he was a prosecutor. Did he have photos with his family? Of course he did. If you would, show me a politician anywhere who has not had a campaign ad of some sort with their kids in it. Everybody has those. Some of them, I think, are utilized as props, and some of them are just their kids, but you know what I'm saying. Well, Sean Duffy's oldest daughter, who, by the way, is apparently married, she's old enough to be married, said that this reporter called her and said, here's the quote, "One of the deranged questions she bombarded my parents with was if they had considered aborting their first child, me." Wow. The daughter, whose name is Evita, by the way, said, "The truth is simple. We're not a prop, a brand, or some act. We're a real, loving, faithful, joyful family." And I'll tell you what, Evita, that is exactly why the leftists hate you. 515, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Scattered thunderstorms, and we're talking about widely scattered thunderstorms. So the likelihood is you'll get some thunderstorms this evening. Some of those storms are going to contain some strong, gusty winds. The overnight low is only down around 73. Tomorrow, Friday Eve, leading into Friday, and then leading into Saturday, and then leading into Sunday, and then leading into Monday. It's pretty much the same thing each and every day. 90 to 95 with thunderstorms in the afternoon. In fact, that holds through right through, man, next Tuesday. That's a long stretch. Again, it's going to be hot, but potentially with thunderstorms in the afternoon. James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. JJ from Colonial Heights says, hey, Jeff, when you're over at Tom Leonard's Farmer's Market, be sure to pick Miss Pixie up a box of Frosty Paws. She will love them. Okay. Is that like doggy ice cream? I don't know that either one of the pups has ever had doggy ice cream. I think they've had ice cream. But they're not spilling the beans, you know what I mean? They don't talk to the pups. They haven't eaten in years. And the new cat, who this morning I think weighed 105 pounds or well, maybe a little less, the big cat, Ernie Ladd, he looks at you like, hey, you got any food? Seriously, I'm hunting. Can't you see I'm wasting away over here? No. No, I can't. Can't see it. It looks to me like you're doing just fine. I want you to take a listen to the ACLU transgender point woman. And it is a woman, although he claims to be a, well, she claims to, well, it's, this is a woman. Strangio is the name. I kid you not. I didn't make it up. And she would like you to know something. Cut number three.
Any instructions in this one executive order, including this directive to HUD to issue proposed regulations to, in essence, exclude trans people from various forms of shelter system under the auspices that a trans person is an inherent threat to non-transgender women. Obviously, that just enhances the risk that transgender people face in society if we are deemed as a threat to others simply by existing.
Non-transgender women. So help me connect the dots here. Let's go to the, let's get John Madden and go to the telestrator here. A transgender woman is a guy, right? Right? I'm trying to, yeah. A transgender woman is a man who says he is a woman. That is a transgender woman. So a non-transgender woman would not be a guy. So in other words, ma'am, what you're saying is when you say non-transgender woman, you are saying woman. That's what you're saying. So why not just say it? I mean, I know it doesn't go along with the whole agenda and the script and the narrative and everything else, but good Lord. I don't understand how women are supporting any of this. Women are supporting the placement of guys into women's sports. Makes no sense to me. Women are supporting the granting of scholarships designed for female athletes to male athletes. Women are saying, sure, guys should be welcome in locker rooms and bathrooms with your daughters, your wives, your mothers, your grandmothers. And two of the women who are consistently saying exactly that, just for the record, are Abigail Spamberger and Ghazala Hashmi, the Democrat nominees for governor and lieutenant governor. Any of this strike you as, you know, just a little odd? Because I'm looking at it. I'm paying attention to it. And I'm thinking, who on God's green earth believes it's a good idea for a guy to be competing against a gal? Who is it, perhaps, except for that woman there who claims to be a guy, who would say it's a great idea, but then she has reduced you to simply the status of non-transgender women? Let that sink in. 527, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. 535, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Let me ask just one question. It's a quick question. What the hell is she talking about? I mean, honest to God, nobody's dictating any conversations. There's not a single solitary person saying to you, oh, yeah, you can't have that conversation with your doctor. Nobody. Believe me, I checked. I looked. Oh, that's fascinating. It's interesting. I mean, really, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's a little bit like the big to-do down there in Chesterfield. Oh, my God, I can't believe ICE is in town locking up criminals. Yeah. Okay. Anybody upset by that? I'm not. Anyway, it is Wednesday. And you know what happens 5:35 on Wednesdays? Mike Dickinson joins us. Mike, a real honest-to-goodness citizen journalist, citizen reporter. He's out there covering the stories that I got to tell you, for the most part, other people are not covering. And he's been at it a long time. He's exclusively with us on Wednesdays. I'm always happy to welcome him here. Mike, thank you for being here, sir.
Yeah, as always, Jeff, as always.
Where would you like to start? You want to start with ICE in Chesterfield? Because I can't figure out what the big deal is. Can you?
I don't know what the problem is, other than just Democrats being outraged because somebody is upholding the law. I mean, how is it not common sense that if somebody is here in America illegally and they're in court for breaking a law, that we're not going to check their name out while they're there? And if they're outstanding a illegal immigrant into America while they're at the courthouse, just save us the time and effort and pick them up while they're there. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're an American and you have felony warrants on you and you go in any court, you best believe if you get arrested in Henrico County and go in front of a Henrico County judge, but if you've got a warrant in North Carolina, they're going to pick you up right there at the courthouse and extradite you right on down to North Carolina if you're an American. So why are we creating like a special set of privileges for people who have already broken the law to be here?
That's the question. That's the question. And to hear the leftists adopt this idea that there's something untoward or it's impolite. Why they didn't know you were going to be there? Well, no kidding. Half the time or more when you get arrested, you didn't know the police were going to be there, but there they are.
It doesn't make any sense either, and I just don't understand it. I mean, if you go to fly on an airplane in America, if your name is on a list and if you got warrants on you, they'll pick you up right at the gate if you're an American. If your name is on a – remember how Kamala Harris weaponized the terrorist no-fly list, and she put Tulsi Gabbard's name on it and weaponized that against an American citizen. I mean, why don't we go and ask Kamala why it's okay to weaponize the system against Americans, but we can't use the system to uphold law and order against illegal immigrants?
That's a great question, man. I will not hold my breath waiting for an answer to come from the other side, although I'm sure they're working feverishly to address that. You've got an option here. You and I have been around long enough that we know in the Times Dispatch, oftentimes the same people write exactly the same columns over and over again. Jeff Shapiro, when he was there, consistently told us how terrible Republicans were. And you've got an observation this week. Tell me a little bit about yours.
I don't understand Michael Paul Williams at the Times-Dispatch. This week, he wrote, actually a few days ago, he wrote an editorial saying that the new amphitheater downtown at the Tredegar complex, that they need DEI because all they've booked are rock concerts, pop concerts, and country concerts, and that there's no rap concerts or R&B concerts. Well, I don't think Michael Paul Williams has ever worked like a job a day in his life other than just his opines on the Times-Dispatch, because, you know, look, it's like Bernard Carrick, the former NYPD police commissioner, said, we're not saying bad things about people. We're just generalizing behavior. And the bottom line is, like, you know, you can have 100,000 rock concert or pop concert fans and nothing will go wrong. But you put 1,000 rap concert fans together, people who go to rap concerts, it just attracts a demographic that's going to shoot each other and they're going to kill each other and there'll be fights. I know, look, and I can say this better than anybody in the Richmond City area, because I've ran bars and nightclubs in the city of Richmond, and you have to appeal to an audience that is not going to have fights and shoot each other. And so if you're a concert promoter and you've got this brand new venue downtown Richmond, you know, one shooting, you're ruined because no one's going to ever come down there again. So you're going to want to do acts and concerts that appeal and steer away from any kind of a trouble group, and that might appeal and bring any kind of trouble there. You're going to want to book, like they're doing, you know, book Alabama and all of these classic rock and pop concerts, and not anything that's going to attract trouble.
All right, so I want you to be clear, because there are going to be people saying, "Now look, Mike, that's racist. You're just saying you don't want black performers." You are speaking, if I understand you correctly, more about age and tone of the concerts then.
Right. Book and Living Color, you know, they do CM Punk's theme song. They're a racially diverse group. You know, they do great. They make great music. Book The Roots. You know, the Roots are great, a great band. Book D'Angelo. He's from Richmond. You know, he's an African-American performer. Right. But don't book, you know, anybody that's going to, and that could go, you know, into rock music also. That could go into anybody, you know, that's going to be a problem and attract a demographic, which is typically youngsters. 18 to 24 is the demographic you want to run from if you're promoting an event in a city like Richmond or anywhere. You want to run from a demographic that's 18 to 24. They're trouble.
Okay, so again, I want everybody to be clear. What you're saying is you're looking at the age. You're not looking at skin tone or height or weight or eye color. It's it is that age group, 18 to 24. Yeah, you know, if you're booking a so-called classic rock group that had their last hit in 1990, there's not going to be anybody younger than me at that event, and for the most part, we got to get home and get to bed by 8:30 or 9, so we're probably not going to be any trouble.
Right, or book, you know, people like Nelly or Warren G. People that like Nelly and Warren G. They were 18 years old and 2005, so they're in their 30s now. They know that there's more to life than, you know, somebody stepping on your foot and being disrespected. They're not gonna, you know, they don't solve things shooting, and that's what's, you know, really hurting a lot of these entertainment venues in these big cities. And it's bled over into like sports venues and other places too, where they can't do events in the city because and big urban markets because of the threat of shootings. And if you do an event, you have to do an event that appeals to a older demographic of people, because they're not the most likely, they're not going to result, it's not going to result in violence, unlike, you know, the young demographic. I mean, every shooting you hear about, it's always, you know, some nightclub in the city or some nightclub here, a parking lot, and it's always youngsters that don't know how to resolve their differences.
Fair enough. Mike, I appreciate you being here, man. I know it's a little short and a little tight this week, but that is Mike Dickinson, citizen reporter, citizen journalist, some interesting perspective. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 550, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Let me give you the good news, the bad news, just the weather news. You're going to get, in all likelihood, some real thunderstorms this evening. Well, we're all going to get some real thunderstorms this evening, and some of those thunderstorms are actually going to contain very strong, gusty winds. Starting tomorrow, we are looking at high temperatures pretty much between 90 and 95, with thunderstorms each and every afternoon. And that's just going to hold right through Tuesday of next week. The good news is this. I am looking at Independence Day, Friday, July the 4th, and it looks good. It's going to be warm. It's going to be 90, 92, but partly sunny. So that's okay. I'll take that. I think that'll be nice. Good day to get outdoors. And then that whole weekend, pretty much the same thing. Partly sunny, partly cloudy, depending on the way you're looking at it, somewhere between 90 and 92. And then that weather pattern looks like it stays with us for a few days. If you're looking for a big break in the temperature, that's not coming. But it's not going to be quite as hot as it has been for the last few days. Anybody have the relationship with their utility company where your hot water gets shut off? Here's what happened. Heidi and I yesterday experienced this. We had no idea. Now, we've owned this house for 5 years. This has never happened before. I come in, and Heidi meets me at the door and says, I have to talk to you. It's like, oh, no! Now what? Right? Because nothing good ever starts with that phrase. I have to talk to you. Oh, God. Somebody's sick. Somebody's injured. Somebody is unhappy one way or another. And somehow, some way, it's going to be my fault. That's what I know. She says, I got to talk to you about the hot water heater. Oh, no! So I'm thinking, we just had that hot water heater replaced 2 years ago, if it's that. 18 months ago, I don't know. It's not that long ago. So I'm thinking, well, probably still under some sort of a warranty. We know who installed it. We'll call them. And in fact, I said this, well, what is it? You know, she says, well, there's no hot water. Said, that's an issue. Right? No hot water, probably related to the hot water heater. You're absolutely correct. Now the question becomes, why is our hot water heater not heating water? So I go down and I take a look in the lower level. I look at our big fancy schmancy circuit breaker thing, and the circuit breaker's just fine. She says, no, over by the water heater itself, there's this other box and this little red light is flashing. Well, again, a little red light flashing on anything is a bad thing. Talk to anybody who is involved in EOD. You don't want little red lights flashing on anything. Now I got to Google it. Now I got to look into it. Although I'm thinking, well, I know who I'm calling. I'll just call Kim in the morning and she'll send Chip out and he'll wave his magic wrench or something. It'll be all better. And Heidi, by the way, Heidi's out pickleballing. She took her gherkin and she went to pickleball last night. So I have some time when I get back from Fatherhood Foundation. So I start Googling stuff. And you know what? Here's what it is, apparently. I'm knocking on wood. Apparently, there are some relationships between consumers and customers, that's me, and your local utility company. When there is excessive demand, when temperatures are super hot, there is an agreement in place, which obviously the prior owners entered into with Rappahannock, that says, okay, you can remotely turn off our hot water heater so that energy, that electric, is used for more important things like air conditioning. And this morning, hot water was back. The red light is still flashing, so I don't know if I have to go in there and snip a couple of wires or call in Jason Bourne or whatever it is, but I didn't know anything about that. You may want to look into that, or maybe you know already that you have that relationship. I don't know if the Dominion does that or Southside does that, but apparently Rappahannock does it. It must have been the prior owners. If you're in a home and we've got these 100-degree temperatures now for like 5 days in a row, you might be in the same thing. We're thinking, oh my gosh, the water heater is just... And it could just be that the utility remotely shut it off. And as of today, anyway, it's back. I want to remind you, tomorrow, Rob Chadwick is going to be here, retired FBI special agent. We're going to talk a little bit about whether your church is actually safe or not. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Rich Herrera will be here with Richmond's Morning News. Half hour from now, Rich Herrera will be here for dinner at Casa Cats. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.